Asia and the Middle East. Lands, 47. Population, 4,587,021,833. Publishers, 652,251. Bible Studies, 601,306. The Samaritan Woman. It was a hot summer day in Kazakhstan. Two pioneers, a brother and a sister, were out preaching and saw a woman drawing water from a well. The brother asked her for a drink of water, and while he was drinking, the sister witnessed to the woman. The woman showed interest and invited the pioneers to her home so that she could learn more about what they were telling her. They talked for a while, and the pioneers left Bible literature with her. The sister promised to call back 2 days later. As promised, the sister returned, along with her mother, who was also a witness. They found the woman waiting for them outside her home, holding the literature that had been left with her. She gave it back to the sister and said, "This is from Jehovah's Witnesses. Yours is a Russian religion." The mother then asked the woman if she might read a text from the scriptures to her before they left. Wanting to show the woman God's name in the scriptures, she turned to Exodus 3:15 and read, "Jehovah, the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you." To the sister's surprise, the woman invited them into her house. What made her change her mind so suddenly? The woman had forefathers named Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She reasoned that if Jehovah was the God of her ancestors, she should not turn away his witnesses. On the next visit, a Bible study was started. She was so eager to learn the truth that the study was conducted twice a week. Despite opposition from her sons, she grew spiritually, and now she is an unbaptized publisher. In addition, her daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law's mother are studying the Bible and regularly attending meetings. Because the initial contact resembled the account at John 4, 3-15, she is known in the congregation as the Samaritan Woman. I have some questions. From Cyprus, an elderly pioneer sister writes, "On a Wednesday morning, I was not feeling very well, but rather than stay at home, I wanted very much to do street witnessing. So I prayed to Jehovah, asking if he would send someone who had the time to come and sit next to me on the bench so that I could start a Bible study. Soon a young man from Nepal came along. I was holding the magazines in my hand, and before I even had the chance to speak to him, he asked me what the magazines were about. When I told him that they were based on the Bible, he said, 'Madam, I have the time, so may I sit down next to you? I have some questions about the Bible that I would like to ask you.' Of course, I agreed, as that was just what I had asked Jehovah for." The man then continued, "My first question is, what does the Bible really teach?" I was so surprised that I could hardly reply. I took out the book, "What Does the Bible Really Teach?" from my bag and showed it to him. He looked at the book, looked up at me, and asked, "Isn't the title of this book the very question I just asked you?" So I started a Bible study right there on the park bench. He is now regular in his study of the Bible as well as in meeting attendance, and he has expressed his desire to enroll in the Theocratic Ministry School. I really appreciate the value of fully relying on Jehovah's strength and direction in performing the Christian ministry, even though sometimes I feel physically tired. Grandpa teaches grandson's murderer. Miguel's grandson was killed several years ago. The murderer, Esmeraldo, was caught but did not admit to the crime when tried in court. Nevertheless, based on the evidence, he was sentenced to prison. Later, an elder invited Miguel to accompany him to witness in the very prison in the Philippines where Esmeraldo was incarcerated. Miguel hesitated, knowing that his grandson's murderer was there. However, he went along and joined in teaching some inmates who were having a Bible study. During the study, he looked up and saw Esmeraldo walking toward him. To diffuse what might have been a volatile situation, Miguel spoke to him mildly, saying, Esmer, I came here not to quarrel, but to show love to people like you. Look, we are discussing the Bible with this man. What happened to you would not have happened had you known the Word of God. Please study the Bible with us. To Miguel's surprise, Esmeraldo stayed for the rest of the study. Touched by what he heard, he openly admitted to Miguel that he had indeed murdered the grandson. He then asked for forgiveness. The elder, who had not heard their private exchange, saw that they appeared to be having a cordial conversation, so he asked Miguel to study with Esmeraldo. Miguel felt fearful at first, knowing that his grandson was not the only person murdered by this man, but he agreed. Esmeraldo had a long struggle to conform to God's standards, but his patient efforts paid off, and on February 1, 2010, he was baptized in symbol of his dedication to Jehovah. Miguel, in a display of Christian forgiveness for what Esmeraldo had done, is now working to shorten his sentence so that Esmeraldo might share Bible truths more fully with others.